Like to welcome everybody this morning. We got a lot of visitors. Glad y'all came today. And if you don't have a home church, we'd be glad for you to come back and stay. So, for those that don't know, yesterday was the opening day of turkey season. Yeah. And as I was out there, I was thinking about this word, the word delusion. How many of you know there's a lot of people today that Satan's got or having delusions and they don't know what is really going on? You know, and I was thinking about that as I was making my way off of one big steep hill up another one to try to get to where some turkeys were at. And, you know, I thought about the fact that we're really being a part of a delusion and calling them in, right? That old Tom is doing what he's designed to do, right? And that's to pass on the next generation his genes is what it amounts to. He's out there strutting and doing his thing to look pretty for the ladies. And, you know, that's really what it's about, right? And what we do when we call and we set up and we do things for them, we're really making them go against what nature is about. Because they're, in the way that they're designed, they're supposed to go out and strut and they're supposed to look pretty and call the ladies into them, right? Call the hens in. But what we do is we get out there and set off, and then we start talking to them to get them to break away from what their designment is, and then they come in and they get killed. Does that not sound like a natural and a spiritual way? It's the same thing. What does Satan do for us? He tries to take us out. If he can't take us out, he's at least going to try to keep us sidetracked enough that we're not being usable, right? But and one of the things I thought about with that was John 10:10 tells us, it talks about the thief. It says he does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, I don't believe that anything the devil does or tries to do to us in any way is trying to be an ethical or a clean kill for us, is it? He tries to dirty us up and damage us as much as he can if he can't kill us. And that's the one thing, you know, us as hunters, we're not going to try to maim something and leave it living, you know, there. But if you would, go ahead and be turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where I'm really going to start at. But I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation this morning on several of these. It's some of the scriptures are kind of hard to understand otherwise. But I'm going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 is where I would like to start. So as I looked up this word delusion, I found a couple of meanings and different things I want to share there for you while you're getting to 2 Thessalonians there. In the encyclopedia, topical encyclopedia, it says that in the context of the Bible, delusion refers to a state of being deceived or misled. Anybody ever been misled? Anybody allowed Satan to mislead you at some point in time or another? We all have, right? But it says, often as a result of rejecting the truth of God, the concept of delusion is addressed in several passages, highlighting the spiritual and moral implications of turning away from the divine truth. Webster's says that the word delusion is a mistaken belief. I know a lot of people today that have a mistaken belief, don't you? As a delusion of grandeur, it says the act of deluding, deception, or misleading of the mind, that which is falsely or delusively believed or propagated. False belief, error in belief. We live in a world today where a lot of people have a false belief, morally spiritually and in other ways as well, right? But let me, everybody made it to 2 Thessalonians. So verse 9 says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He's really talking about the Antichrist, but we'll go on here. It says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Does that not sound like a lot of people we know today? So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity for us to be able to gather and hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would divinely lead the words, Lord, that are spoken this morning. Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts, our ears, Lord, that we might hear, we might receive and accept, Lord, what you would speak today, Lord. And we come against any doubt, any fear, or any unbelief, Lord, any interruption or corruption, Lord. We ask you just to, or delusions in the hearts and minds of your people. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. You know, it said that people want to believe a lie so well is what it amounts to, that God's going to let them believe the lies that they want to believe. You know, like I said, we live in the world today where people are calling things that are an abomination to be okayed. We got churches that are saying it's okay. People are badly deceived today, are having strong delusions. Isaiah 66 and verse 4 is another scripture that talks about the delusions. I'm going to read it. I'm going to start with verse 1, though, in the New Living Translation as well. It says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place? My hands have made both heaven and earth, and they and everything in them is mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble... Donnie talking about humbleness this morning, wouldn't he? It says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word, but those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted. When such people sacrifice a bull, it is no more acceptable than a human sacrifice. When they sacrifice a lamb, it is as though they sacrificed a dog. When they bring an offering of grain, they might as well have offered the blood of a pig. When they burn frankincense, it is as if they had blessed an idol. I will send them great trouble. And all the things they feared, for when I called, they did not answer. When I spoke, they did not listen. They deliberately sinned before my very eyes, and I chose to do what they know I despise. You know, too many people today are having delusions. They're not listening to what God has to say, or they're not willing to. They would rather take God's word and try to make it conform to their will than they would to them conforming to the will of God. You know, and that's what I see the devil is doing to people today. He's speaking words in people's ears that's untrue, and that's what he is. What does it tell us that he is? He's the father of all lies, right? He's a liar. The truth's not in him. And he's going to do anything he can to sidetrack us, to destroy us, to trouble us. And that's what the devil's all about. Has he been speaking to you today? Have you been hearing the voice that tells you that things are okay, that sin's okay? That's a delusion. It's not right. It's not what God's called us to do. We got to understand those things, and we got to walk in the truth and the life. So there's a couple other things that I want to share here right quick in this. Something else I thought about, how many of you heard the old country song years ago, "Don't call him a cowboy till you seen him ride"? Nobody else heard that one besides me? A couple? I mean, that's really what a delusion is, right? They call him a cowboy because they think he's got a cowboy hat and wearing cowboy boots. Does that mean he's a cowboy? No, not even close. What is that old song says? Just because, and I'm paraphrasing, because he's got a fancy hat and boots don't mean he can ride. Don't call him a cowboy till you've seen him ride. Right? There's a lot of people that, and I think about that too. I think it was a commercial years ago. Somebody said, "I'm not really a doctor, but I play one on TV." Right? I think that's what a lot of people, really with their walk with Christ, is. "I'm not really a Christian, but I play one in the public." We can't be having delusions that we're okay when God's convicting us and dealing with our hearts and saying, I want you to have a relationship with me. Not just call me your father. Let me be your father. Let me be what you need to walk through life. But there's a lot of implications about that. Delusion in the biblical sense is often portrayed as both a judgment and a natural consequences of rejecting God's truth. It serves as a warning to believers about the dangers of straying from the path of righteousness and embracing falsehood. You know, we can all have delusions, right? It ain't just the lost. And think about it. You know, I've said it before. How many people do you know that tried drugs one time, wanted to become a drug addict? How many of them wanted to go down that path and stay that way? You know, they just wanted a minute of pleasure, and it ended up turning into a lifetime situation, or it could end up death. We got to understand what the delusions are that get us in trouble, but how those are dangerous consequences by straying from the path of righteousness. The Bible consistently teaches that truth is found in God and in His Word. And any deviation from the truth can lead to spiritual deception. You know, if you don't know the truth, you can't be set free, can you? If you know the truth, you spend time in the truth, the Word, you can be set free. It tells us that we can be free indeed, right? So I got three spiritual and moral lessons that I want to just kind of share with you is here this morning, and we'll get done with this. But the first one is the importance of truth. We got to have truth, right? If you're not going to be deceived, you got to know the truth. And I think George said something here a while back talking about the difference between truth and facts. They can be totally different, right? The importance of truth. The Bible emphasizes that the necessity of adhering to God's truth to avoid delusion. If we stay with God's truth, we're not going to be derailed. We're not going to hear the lies of the devil. You're not going to walk in those. You're not going to stay where he's trying to lead you. But believers are encouraged to seek wisdom and understanding through Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We got to have that truth, right? Scripture tells us that, you know, I got too many sheets here. John 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for me." We got to have that truth, right? Ephesians 5, verse 8 and 4 through 14 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, for Christ, and Christ will give you light. He's the truth. He's our light. He lightens our path. And then one of the other scriptures talking about truth, we're supposed to put on what? And the armor's got the belt of truth, right? We got to have that truth. We got to walk in truth. We got to be a part of it. That's the importance of truth. The second point is the consequences of rejection. Delusion is presented as a consequence of rejecting God, and it serves as a reminder of the importance of remaining faithful and obedient to God's commands. When we reject Him, there's consequences, right? When we go against His word, against His will, then there's consequences, there's problems because of those things. The third thing is discernment and vigilance. Christians are called to be discerning and vigilant, recognizing the potential for deception in the world that often opposes God's truth. This involves testing all things against the Word of God and being wary of the teachings that contradict biblical principles. You know, like I said, this is the truth, and we got to understand how to discern it and to study it and to know what it says. And one of the things that we always hear encourage you to do is to go home, get in your word, study it, make sure that we're telling you the truth, and dig into that word. You know, how many people today do we see that try to say things that are biblical that aren't really true? They pick and choose little pieces and parts of it that you can get what they want you to hear out of it, right? Have you ever heard that? Have you seen that? You know, I think about one of the things that they say, talking about homosexuality. They'll say David and Jonathan had a homosexual relationship just because they loved each other. They were close. They were good friends. People try to make things up to fit their own agenda. It's not true. Delusions will get us in trouble. They'll cause you problems. Romans, I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read 18 through 26, and then I'm going to jump down to 28. It says, but God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Still talking about truth, ain't they? They know the truth about God because He made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Scripture tells us everybody has no excuse for not knowing that God is who He is and God is real. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideals of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things of God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires, their delusions, right? He'll let you stay with your own decisions if that's what you want to be, is follow those delusions. He's not going to make you change. He deals with your heart. He calls you. He's asking, Maybe today he's knocking on your door. Maybe he's dealing with you. Maybe you feel that turning in your heart, in your gut, that says something's wrong, something's happening, and I need to make a change. And you know, that change don't have to mean that you're a bad person. It don't mean that you're a rotten, low-down, dirty dog. It means that you got to have a change in your heart to seek him, right? And I truly believe that there's going to be a lot of really great people in hell. I mean, people that would do anything in the world for you, people that would give the shirt off their back to you, to help you out, to just great, genuinely great people. But because they wouldn't receive or accept the Lord as their Savior, they received their own fate because of those things. It says, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Verse 28 says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises, are heartless, and they have no mercy. This is people that are suffering from delusions, right? They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Are we having delusions today? Are we being deceived? Are we listening to lies? Or are you listening to the truth? Do you know the Father? Do you know who He is? You know, to know the truth, we'll be set free. And one of the other things that I want to share with us this morning too is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 5 says, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And this is why we should do those things. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They're going to be deceived. They're going to have delusions, right? How many of you know people that just want to hear what they want to hear? They don't want to receive any correction. They don't want to receive any rebuke. They don't want any conviction. They just want to do what they want to do and go on about life. I know it's a little hard this morning, but it's the truth. We can't have those itching ears, or we're going to be turned aside to fables, it says. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. We got to know the truth, right? In order to know the truth, we're going to be set free. So many people, we can look through Scripture and find those that had delusions that they could do something, that they could do it on their own. How many of us know people today that have tried to do things on their own and not in God's power and not in God's will? You know, I look at even Abraham and Sarah. They had a delusion that they could help God out. And the world today still dealing with the fallout from that situation. God said, you're going to have a child. just like many of us, I want it now. God, do it right now. How many of you, the Lord spoke to you and told you he's going to give you something or going to do something for you, going to allow you to be a part of something? And then a year goes by, 2 years goes by, 5 years goes by. And then all of a sudden you get the bright idea, well, I'm going to help God out. I'm going to start this on my own. Come back and tell me later how that worked out for you. Didn't work out so well for Abraham and Sarah, did it? And the interesting thing to me is that Sarah's the one that came to Abraham and said, here, take my handmaid where we can have a child. And then later on, what did she do? Get rid of her and him now. We can't be walking in delusions. We got to know the truth, and we got to let the truth set us free. Seek him. Let him help you out where you don't have to have the consequences of rejection. The others done things in Scripture that, and you know, going back to Abraham, Abraham was a friend of God, and yet he still tried to help him out. So even though if you do have a delusion, you lose your mind for a few minutes, you try to help God out and you fail, know that you can always come back to him. He still loves you. He still desires you to be in his presence. He still wants you to be one of his children. You know, so many places in Scripture, people lost their minds for a few minutes. They were deceived. But we got to be like Christ. Even, you know, Satan even tried to tempt Jesus. And in those temptations, he used parts and pieces of Scripture. But Jesus turned the word back on him because he knew the truth. And in that truth, he changed his heart. I mean, he changed the situation, and he finally told Satan, get behind me. You ain't got no place. You need to go. So today, as they come back, if anybody's having issues with delusions, and the delusion many times that Satan's going to try to tell you is that you're less than, you're no good, you're not able, you're not good enough for God to accept you. Well, he's telling you the truth. You're not good enough without the blood of Christ on your heart and your life, without receiving and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. If he's trying to tell you that your marriage is in the dumps, tell him he's lost his mind. If he's telling him that your health is going down the tube, tell him that he's delusional. Tell him to get behind you. You have no place. He has no ownership of you because you're a child of the King. And if you hadn't had him as your Lord and Savior, today would be a great time. If anybody needs prayer, we ask you just to come. We'd be glad to pray with you and pray for you.